Well, good morning to everyone, and grace and truth, peace be multiplied to you. Davey, I don't know why you picked that song, because I didn't even know it. I don't know how many other people knew it. Where are you? There you are. Must have been reading my notes, because maybe that's confirmation that I should be preaching what I am, because I thought about this subject for quite a while. It wasn't just what I'm going to be sharing this morning isn't just something I thought about last week and decided to share. But I'm going to read to you first four paragraphs in our confession of faith and practice. God the Father, we believe there is one eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth, and that all and all that in them is. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, indescribable, and incomprehensible. And there's a bunch of references. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we believe and confess that Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. He is the only begotten Son of the Father, born of a virgin, full of grace and truth. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose up from the grave by the power of God and ascended to the Father in heaven. All power is given unto him, and there is none other name under heaven given whereby man can be saved. The Holy Spirit. We believe and confess that there is a Holy Spirit who proceeded from the Father and the Son, given to all who believe and obey him, to comfort them and to guide them into all truth. By him we are all baptized into one body of Jesus Christ. And then the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three separate but equal manifestations of God. These three are one, and each has its function. So you're probably all saying, well, we all believe that. Anyway, just get on with it. But and I am assuming that we all believe in the Trinity. I was finishing James' verse for him. Who is the King of Glory? I had to think about that while I was studying this subject. And I thought, I would have thought this subject would be easier for me than it was. But there was a lot of questions, and I still have a lot of questions. And so I don't have all the answers. But we, we speak about the doctrine of the Trinity, and we sing about it, which the song was about. And it's something we've been taught all our lives. We accept it. And so I had to question myself, I believe it. And I had to ask myself why I believe it. And I believe it because it's the best explanation of what we see in the whole, taking the Word of God as a whole. And basically it's we all know what it is. It's one, the Trinity, God as being one being, that is what he is. He is one being. And then he has three persons, and that is who he is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible. So that's not a biblical term. And like I said, Trinitarians have taken the whole Bible and put together this doctrine, belief. And so for a while, I, believe it or not, I actually questioned whether maybe that's just something that man came up with over the centuries. I actually considered that, but you'd have to throw me out because I wouldn't be believing in the our standard of faith and practice. But I think what I have to share this morning, I'll tell you why you believe in the Trinity and myself this morning. So the question I had asked, does it matter if I believe in the Trinity or not? Does it make that much of a difference? And so to get the answer to that question, I've been doing study on Jewish culture. And so I considered the different groups that do not believe in the Trinity. And the Jews would be one of them. The Muslims. Jehovah's Witness. I think for the most part, the LDS church, which is Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they're called, and a whole host of other little oneness Pentecostal and groups that I don't know virtually anything about. They do not believe in the Trinity. And so as you look at these, basically let's take the Jews, God's people, or maybe Islam, what is their view? Okay, they do not believe in the Trinity. What is their view of Jesus? Who do they say Jesus is? You know, that's a question that Jesus asked. Who do men say that I am? So who do these people say that Jesus is? Anybody have any answers for that? A prophet. What else? Good man. What about doing good? Some Jews would say he's the greatest Jew that ever lived, Jesus. But they don't necessarily say he's the Messiah. So the son of Mary, say he's the son of Mary. The messenger of God. But the bottom line, the thing that I came to, and I think Jehovah's Witness would believe, not every one of these groups would believe this, but they basically do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So that would be the big error. Because if you read the Gospels, Jesus says over and over and over, my Father. And he refers to himself as the Son of God. So Jehovah's Witness believe that God created Jesus. Okay, and interestingly enough, I found that the Messianic Jews, the ones that believe that Jesus was the Messiah, also, I would say some of them, most of them maybe believe in the Trinity. So I thought that was interesting. So groups that do not believe in the Trinity, not all of them, but some of them have a flawed view of Jesus. So that is very important. And so I think it is a problem if you don't believe in that, because Jesus was the Son of God and he came from God. And before we move on, I'm going to do a... thank you for the verse, James. I'm going to do a quick word study, and I'm sure most of you adults would know what these words mean, but this may be for the benefit of, well, all of us and the children. But way up here stands for Greek. What does this word mean? Anybody in Greek? God means God. Okay? And then in English, what does this word mean? Actually, I'll go like this. Somebody that's one of them, what does that mean? No. Yeah, exactly. Belief in God. All right. Or gods, you could say. Belief in God, primarily. I'll put a bunch of prefixes here. If this is getting too low for you, anybody to see it? Now, any school teachers know what the prefix A means? Picking on them. Actually, I'll put this one in here. I like words, by the way. You'd think I would, if I would have got a better education, I would have liked to study language. But okay, the prefix A. Without. Very good. Not. In this case, it would mean without. Okay, mono. Some of the children. What does mono mean? Or maybe older children. Well, then, adults. Surely you know what mono means. One. Single. Children. How many wheels does a tricycle have? Hoffman boy. Three. Very good. Polly. Any adults know what that means? Many? Multiple? Many? And it's probably a little harder. Pan. Probably wouldn't know if I wouldn't have studied either. Means all. Universal. Okay, so basically all these prefix. So an atheist would would be without a belief in God. Belief in one God would be this. Belief in three gods, and that's what the Muslims would accuse most Christians of. They would be tritheists. They would believe in three gods. Okay, a belief in many gods, and this would include all gods, every one of them, just everything. So I just thought that was interesting to help you understand where I'm coming from. And so basically, the Jews would say that we have more than one God, because the foundation of their belief would be we have one God. And if you believe in the Trinity, that means you have three gods. So you're a polytheist. And that's what they would say we are. And if you look at the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, there is many references to one God. So we're going to take a look at that. And I don't really have a text this morning, so I'm just going to read some verses. First, I'll read you a bunch of verses that the Bible is clear that there is one God. And this is the foundation of the Jewish belief, Islam, for all the way back to the Old Testament. You know, I talked about the Deuteronomy 6:4. The Shema. It's Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And that's about the extent of my Hebrew. But it's interesting because it's translated, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And that's what they base their religion on. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Deuteronomy 4:35. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. So it's very clear from the scriptures that there's one God. And I don't believe any of you would say there we have more than one God. There's one God. So in Exodus 32, when Moses came down from the mountain with these tables of stone in his hand, what did he see? What made Moses very distressed, Santos? Angry. Maybe it's a better word. What did he see? They made gods. They were all dancing around this golden calf. Okay, now, I don't know what. I know they had the influence of Egypt where there was hundreds of gods, if not maybe thousands. But it was interesting that when Moses came down with these tables of stone in his hand, that the first commandment on those tables of stones was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And here they were dancing around another god. And so one God is still to this day a hallmark of Jewish religion and Islam as well. So now, is the doctrine of the Trinity as we believe it supported by the Bible? In the Bible, in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, there are four words for God. Short word, El, El, then Ella, Elo, Ella, and Elohim. And so the last of these words is the one that's used the most, I think more than 2,500 times in the Bible. And it's the word Elohim. We've probably heard it before. And it's a plural form of the word God. The singular form is the other form. But this is a plural form. And why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 1. So the very first verse in the Bible. And we'll look at some more verses while we're here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Elohim, that is plural. Okay? Now turn to, or look at verse 26. This has been a Hebrew or Jewish scholars, rabbis, for generations have tried to figure out what this means. 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So it would be the words, the plural words, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And then in 3:22, Genesis 3:22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand to take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever." So over the years, these rabbis to explain the scriptures would look at these and they would recognize in the Hebrew form the plural form of these words, and they didn't know what to do with it. So because they knew that God was only one, he said how many times he's only one. And so they would come up with different explanations, such as God was speaking to the angels around his throne. That's why he said, "Let us." Or the royal we, I think one of them was. You know, say a queen when she's speaking as, she's one person, but she says, "We have made this decree." So they would say, it's the royal we of God, but he's still one. One man said, it's God consulting with the angels, his inferiors around his throne. He did that to demonstrate humility. So they came up with all kinds of things. So um, back to the verse in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, that the Jews based their faith on, faith in their faith in one God. And that's very different from any other the religions of that time. They all had lots of gods. But there is an error for the sound man. That'll be the title. If you were to count in Hebrew, your first number would be Echad. In English, it's one. In Spanish, it's uno. German, eins. French, I think it's un. Something like that. Un. So you have all these. It's number one. It's what the word basically means is one, just like we know it. So you're in Genesis. Turn to Genesis 1, verse 5. Read there, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. I think that's what I wanted. Yeah, written down. It's not actually, it says the first day, but in Hebrew it would say, it would be this word, it would be akkad. So it's one day. They're talking about one day, but in the day there is an evening and a morning. So the next example would be in 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So you have a man and a woman, and they're one flesh. So you have the same word. Numbers 13:23. I'll turn to that and read it. Actually, this would be a question for the children. The spies that went into the land of Canaan, for you children. Okay, they in this passage, they went into the land of Canaan and they had this big cluster of grapes. How many people know how many clusters of grapes they cut down? Ryan? One. How did they carry it? You remember? Anybody know how they carry it? Alex? That's right. They had a stick and they carried it on a pole between two men. Okay, how many grapes were in the cluster? Anybody know? Many. Poly. Okay. So you have one cluster of grapes, and it's the same word, akkad. You have one cluster of grapes, but there was many grapes in one cluster. Okay, there's, I could give other examples, but we will stop there. So what are we saying by looking at these examples? The word basically means one as we know it. But if you look at the word, the definition of the word, it means a compound unity. So in marriage, in the grapes, the other example we gave was marriage. Morning and evening make one day. You have different parts that make up that one. Okay, so it's a... basically has the idea it's a complexity or it's a unified oneness. And basically, if you believe in the Trinity, that's a win-win, because you're not saying that it doesn't mean one. It means one, but you're saying there's a little more to that word than just one. And so that is where people that do not believe in the Trinity kind of run up against it. They don't know what to do with those. That word, I believe I read somewhere, was by one scholar. He was embarrassed by that word, because in his language, it had, to him, it meant a unified oneness. It had more parts than just one. And so he changed that to another Hebrew word. And there is a Hebrew word that means one and one alone. And that word is Yaqid. And I want to look at a place in the Bible where that is used. So if you turn to Judges 11. I read this story and I was fascinated by it. I knew the story, but I didn't know all the details leading up to this story. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it's interesting. So any of you children remember the story of Jephthah? When he went out and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he fought with these children of Ammon. You remember that? And God gave him the victory. Well, he prayed before going out and he said, God, if you give me the victory, I will. And this was a rash statement, I think. I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out to greet me when I get home. And that is in, anybody know what came out to meet him? Any of the children? Kylan. His daughter, okay. So he was terribly devastated, obviously. Verse 34. We're not going to read the story. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. She was his Yaqid, only child. So there is a word in Hebrew that means only. It means only one, or it means solitary. It talks about in the prophets, mourn for, God says, mourn as if you're mourning for your only son. And they use the same word, Yaqid. And in Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, now I know that you love and fear me because you have not withheld your Yaqid, your only son, from me. And if God wanted to say that I am one, only one, that's all there is, solitary, wouldn't you think that you would see that word at least a little bit used to describe God? To my knowledge, that word is not used at all to describe God. He always uses, when he says one, he uses the word echad. And it means I am one, and in my unified oneness, I am plural. And that is exactly what we see in the Bible. So that, I think that's a pretty good indication that what God wanted us to see, he's not just solitary one. And God had only one son also, and his name was Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Only begotten son. Now this is not Hebrew, this is Greek. And so this is just side note because I like words. Now that's, we said what that means. What's that mean? One or single. One gene, basically. So you say this word, monogenes. I think that's how you say it in Greek, but I thought that was interesting. He had one Son. Now, I'm not going to get into the New Testament. There's three words in the New Testament that are used for one. And one of those words corresponds with, I didn't study this that much, with the Hebrew word echad. So, and one of the words in Greek is monos, and that means single or one. Some other stuff I had written down here. At the baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17, I'll read that just because I don't really have a text. I'm just reading all over the place. Matthew 3, and this is where it would have been all three persons of God were present or were spoken of. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so you have God speaking out of heaven. You have the Spirit descending like a dove, and you have Jesus, God describing Jesus who is being baptized as the Son of God. So you have all three spoken of. There's a quote, I don't think I wrote it down, but it's something like, you know, if you try to figure everything out, sometimes you kind of come up short. You know, I'd like everything to add up too. But when you think about, it's something to the effect that when the human mind thinks about the infinite so long, I can't get the quote. There's just so much that the finite mind can fathom when thinking about the infinite. And so this verse in 1 Timothy that I'm going to read to you, I think, sums it up pretty good. And basically this comes, I wanted to go through the Gospel of John and look at all the red letters and see, I wanted to see for myself if Jesus ever said that I am God. And I couldn't find that Jesus himself said it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. He said, "I and the Father are one." He alluded, what else did he say? And so this is where maybe I had a lot of questions and I don't really need to get into it all, but he constantly refers to his Father, and whenever they ask him, they said, "You are." He said, "Who are you?" And they say, "You're the Son of God." And but there was other people. Thomas, after he saw and believed, he said, "My Lord and my God." And he was talking to Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, and maybe thought it was interesting that it said that, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. And somebody could maybe, I could have a conversation with you afterward, but somewhere in the gospel that Jesus comes out and says that he is God. I didn't really find that. But there's other writers, Paul, Thomas, there's other people that said that. And a question that I had is when Jesus came to earth, I guess I have a little problem when it's about totally God and totally man. I can't I know that's we're human, but for some reason I don't quite get that concept. So you can help me out with that. And kind of scattered here at the end. I'm trying to. Basically, if you remember nothing else, God, we believe in one God, the eternal God. He had a son. His name was Jesus, and he has a Holy Spirit. So that's three. But we still have one God. So what would you call us? Monotheistic Trinitarians. That's an oxymoron, like they say. But that's, I guess, one thing that non-Trinitarians, they think that's not possible. And here's where maybe it's an infinite subject. And so I don't have all the answers, but that was a little bit of my studies. And so if you remember nothing else, remember God is Ikad, one and plural in his unity. And so that is spoken of him over and over in the Old Testament. And so I think there is foundational basis for the Trinity in the Bible.